It is so good to be here today with you. I appreciate you all making the effort to be here this morning. As Pastor said, we're going to learn something that I feel is incredibly helpful for me, and hopefully be as helpful for you as we go through another concept. I like to teach conceptual teaching, as I think Jesus taught too, and you can apply that concept in many different ways. And this is going to be a little bit about drama. How many of you like drama? Okay. How many of you like to watch drama unfold, whether in front of you or on TV? Okay. Have you ever seen drama happen? You're out somewhere, maybe at a restaurant, maybe at a mall, and you see drama start to happen. Maybe it's between a couple. You can kind of feel that sense, and you start seeing it unfold. Or maybe it's with a parent and a child. How many people have ever seen that before? How many have seen it happen at your own table as you're eating there? All right. Maybe you've seen drama happen at work. Maybe you're the boss and you have drama with an employee, or maybe that employee with another employee, or maybe in some category at work. How many people have seen drama unfold in that way? We are going to talk about the drama triangle. How many people like the drama triangle? How many people are caught in that drama triangle? The drama triangle, so we're going to talk about that, and I hope this concept helps you as it helps me, and then we'll talk about how to get out of the drama triangle today. And as Pastor said, we will go more in depth Wednesday, and I'll apply it more. This is something, the more I teach, the more it applies. Now, the good thing about understanding it is I can get out of drama. The bad thing is it shows me how to get out of drama, so if I get stuck in it, who do I have to blame? Myself. That's the tough part about this, but I'd love to teach this with you, and we'll see exactly what Christ and how he navigated through this as well. But how many of you have ever had a tough circumstance, situation in life? Maybe it's throwing up your hands with your kids, maybe it's in a marriage, maybe it's at a job, and you just say, I'm done. You ever said that before? Okay, when you say, I'm done, that is probably your last nerve. Have people ever said that? You've touched my last nerve. When someone says that to you, do you try to find one more nerve you can touch? Is that like a dare? All right, we're going to find one more. That's when you say, I'm done, is when you hit your limit or you want to quit. What happens is we get into our feelings or emotions. They start to control us. How many of us have ever had a time when you found your feelings or emotions take over and start to control you? Anybody? How many of you have said in those times, I've just got to say it? Then you said it, and a few minutes later, you're regretting that you said it. Anybody besides me? If you raise your hand there, you're a very impressive person, because that is a tough thing to do. But yes, when our feelings or emotions take over, we absolutely have this vortex of the drama triangle take over our lives. When you feel like I've hit my limit and I want to quit, what do I do? Good, maybe at work, maybe as a parent, maybe a single parent, maybe in your marriage, maybe in life, you just think, you know what, I'm done. You've hit your limit, you want to quit. What do we do? We're going to look at that today. As people start to navigate through their life, they have to understand that our feelings that we have are real, but they're not necessarily true. Your feelings are real. We're not discrediting your feelings. My wife does not like it when she feels a certain way. I'm like, well, just don't feel that way. She doesn't stop and say, you know what, thank you very much for pointing that out to me. That doesn't happen. Our feelings are real, but they're not necessarily true. They change, because opinions can change, but truth does not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So that is the truth. Many times you say, that's the truth. I was talking to a guy this week. It was in a work situation. He's like, yeah, but that's the truth. I stepped back and I pointed something out. He's like, well, what is that? Is that the truth, or is that just how he feels in the moment? Many times we say that's the truth. That is your perspective, but sometimes our perspective can change. We need to understand how our emotions can control us and absolutely derail us through life. Again, work in your own personal life, in your relational life. You know, did Jesus ever have to navigate through these situations? We'll look at a place today. Jesus, when he's on the cross, you show that first verse there. This is Jesus. He's on the cross. He's getting ready to die for all of our sins before he went into the tomb and resurrected. This is him. He's on the cross, and he said, when he tasted it, he cried his head and said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What did he say? "It is finished." Did he say, "I'm done"? No, "It is finished." When that happened, that's Jesus zooming out and saying, "My emotions are not going to take over." In that moment, Jesus shifted to the completion of his task, not his feelings. If you ever shift to you and your emotions, then you're not shifting to the task at hand, a purpose. You're more worried about your feelings in that moment. Can you shift that next slide that we have there? And we focus on that, we become emotionally driven, and that takes us into the drama triangle. So in those frustrating areas of life, and I want you to think as we do this, in those frustrating areas of life, what are you saying? "I am done," or "It is finished." Right now, there's probably a situation in your mind that comes to mind. We're going to look at how you may be trapped and how you can get out. This could be a situation, again, with your personal life, with finances. It could be a situation with fear. Could be anxiety. Could be your husband, wife. Could be your employer. It could be some situation that you can't get someone to pay, or maybe you have some employees you don't want to deal with. What are we saying in those situations? Now, John 12:27 is a verse. Before we get into the drama triangle, this is Jesus showing us the whole spectrum of the drama and power triangles. John 12:27. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is praying. He is agonizing. If you've ever had agony, if you've ever had something where you face anxiety, Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled." My guess is all of us can say there's been a time in our life when our soul has been troubled. We know what that's like. By the way, so does Jesus. "Now my soul is troubled." He's not just irritated. His soul, his whole inner being is troubled. "And what shall I say?" Now, do you see in this moment, this is another technique we are taught to do, to be objective and not subject about our feelings. Jesus shifted outside of himself and said, "And what shall I say?" This is helping us to say, "And what should I say?" Our feelings don't control us. This is Jesus shifting in that moment to the power triangle, actually. But he says, "Now my soul is troubled. Oh, should I just give in and say, I'm done?" Because if Jesus would have said, "I'm done," in that moment, it would have been done. His father would have come in and rescued him. He had that outlet. Said, "Man, what should I say?" Because what does he say next? "What should I say, Father? Save me from this hour?" It's a question. Do you ever say, "You know what? God, just get me out of it. Father, save me from this mess. Look at your home. Father, save me from these kids." Or as Michelle says, "Father, save me from Arlen." How about it? What does he say? "Father, save me from this problem." Look at the next word. What does he do? No. The mental toughness of Jesus in that moment gives me chills. I just got one when I thought about it again. He is agonizing. He's in the garden. He's facing unbelievable trauma. He's facing torture. He's like, "Man, my soul is troubled. What should I say?" And you can almost feel Jesus just internally just say, I imagine he's have his head down. He's just, and I imagine his head come up and almost feel like that moment. You know, is that Thor in that moment when the lightning hits him and he's really powerful and he does all that? That's what I see in that moment. Jesus picks it up and he's like, "No." Even when I say that, I feel myself empowering myself. Jesus says, "No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." What did he do? He shifted to the completion of his task. He shifted to a purpose. Instead of letting his emotions derail him. When my emotions derail me and control me, I perpetuate drama. And drama may make for good, you know, TV and movies, but it is not good for our life. Jesus faced anxiety, but he showed his willpower and his determination. You may say, "Well, that's Jesus." Jesus is a pattern for us to follow. What I want to challenge you today with is that we need to do this. How do you face anxiety and show willpower and determination? So if you can go to the drama triangle, We'll do this more in depth Wednesday, but I'm going to give you an overview and I'm trying to give you a framework that you can use to understand where you're caught in drama. The drama triangle is similar to the Bermuda Triangle. I don't know if it's still that way with the old instruments. Remember how I said all the magnetic poles and everything would get haywire and people couldn't get out of there and they found all these planes and boats that would crash and have problems. That's our lives. This is where we're at in the drama triangle. So let's look at each of these roles here. So the first one is the bottom right corner. It is victim. When you feel like a victim, here are some characteristics of being a victim. You are weak, you are powerless, and you are helpless. Now, how many of you would love to say, "That's me"? We don't want this. You know what else about a victim? They will not grow. If you're in victim mindset right now, you will not grow. You will not take responsibility for anything. So you're weak, you're powerless, you're helpless, you will not take responsibility, so you start to blame everybody else because nothing's your fault. Now, when you first go to victim, it feels amazing. You say, why would it feel amazing? Because you have all these problems to solve. You have all this pressure that you've got to figure out. And all of a sudden you say, hey, it's not my fault. I'm weak and powerless and helpless. It's not my responsibility. When you first go there, it feels amazing. But it's really a false feeling. It's denial. It's not solving anything. We don't want to live in victim. I don't want to, and neither will you. And you don't want the people around you to live in victim either. When you're a victim and you won't take responsibility, people don't respect that. If you are seeing someone today who wouldn't take responsibility for their life, what are they doing? They create a narrative where it's not their fault. Have you ever talked to someone when they come and say, yeah, you don't understand my workplace. Man, my boss does this, and I just work so hard, and I just do amazing, but they just keep doing this. And they create a narrative that makes you what? Come to their side. They want you to be the rescuer. But they're painting a picture of the top person. They're blaming someone, and that person is a persecutor. And if you find yourself blaming someone else, man, you're going to believe what my wife did to me this morning. She said this one more time. What are you doing? You're creating a narrative where it's not your fault. It's her fault. It's his fault. It's your boss's fault. It's the economy's fault. It's everyone else's fault except yours. When you do that, be careful because you may be heading into victim. The victims have to blame somebody, so they blame the persecutor. The persecutor at the top, let's look at them. The persecutors are a former victim, but they say, I don't want to be a victim. So what they said is, no one's going to tell me what to do. How many of you, that sounds like your partner right now? No one's going to tell me what to do. They want control. No one's controlling me. I'm going to control everything. What, you think you can tell me what to, right? You can almost hear that voice change. You can almost hear that inner voice, the dialogue, the tone change. What happens? You're going to persecutor. And persecutors say, I want control. My opinion's right. I will tell you what to do. You can't do anything. They look for so much control that they take control of someone who is weak, powerless, and helpless, which is the victim. And the persecutor starts to think they're always right. In a leadership situation, in a work situation, if you're a persecutor, you have to tell everyone what to do. No one can ever do anything as good as you can. You've always got to step in and say, I'll tell you what to do. So what happens is you become a dictator. And dictators create very weak teams because all the strong people leave. You know who they're left with? Weak, powerless people, victims. I've helped several of these businesses. You know what happens? They start to blame their team. And do you see what happens when they start to blame their team? They now feel like a victim to the very team they created. And their team they created of victims is now their persecutor. They just switched roles. And when you're in the drama triangle, you just keep switching roles. Some of us in our marriages, we're blaming our partner. We're blaming our partner. And what happens is we have now go home. We're angry at them and blame them. It goes back and forth, and we're just switching from persecutor victim back and forth all the time. It's a never-ending loop. Now let's look at the rescuer. Now you may think the rescuer sounds amazing. Rescuer can be a good person, good intention. I just want to help people. How many of you would like to help people? Right? This is good. I just want to help people. Amazing. So do I. But what happens is the rescuer starts to help people. Then they feel like, hey, this is great. I really like helping people. But they shift from wanting to help people to wanting to feel needed. So now they have this desire almost an identity shift to I have to feel needed. When they start to feel like I have to feel needed, I have to feel needed, now who do they have to have around them all the time? A victim. So they never empower anybody. They have victims around them all the time. And the victims have to need the rescuer. This creates codependency. All of these roles are codependent. There's no interdependence. There's no even independence. What there is codependency, because a victim has to blame somebody. They have to have a persecutor. The persecutor has to control somebody. That's the victim. And the victim has to have someone they talk to about. And so they need the rescuer. And the rescuer says, well, I got to rescue somebody. They need a victim. And some of us live in family situations. Some of us in work situations that are this dynamic played out over and over and over again. And it doesn't end. And if you feel caught in endless drama, this is where you're caught. When you're in the drama triangle, it's all about your emotions and it's all about ego. Because you know what the victim's thinking about? Themselves, their pain, their situation. No one else, them. Do you know what the persecutor's thinking about? What can I control? What can I do to tell people around me what to do? They're thinking about themselves, their opinions. What is the rescuer thinking about? Their identity. Who can I save today? This is why we get caught in ego. Now, maybe you didn't like the spiritual analogy of Jesus, so we'll shift to something else you may like. How many of you are familiar with this guy called Batman? Anybody? Now, Batman came to mind for some reason when I was studying this. So I will use Batman. If you're a huge Batman fan, I'm not necessarily picking on Batman. He's just an illustration here, okay? So don't get angry at me. I love Batman. Okay, now you even talk like Batman. All right, so when you have this, Batman, in all the shows, all this, by the way, do you like the really old school Adam West, Burt Ward Batman, or do you like the really new school Batman? How do people like the old school Biff, Pow, Bam? All the really class people. How do people like the really new school Batman? Chris Nolan, that's the guy? You like that? All right, Christian Bale. All right, so you guys have your preferences. Regardless, probably more the new school Batman is what I was thinking here. But we have this. You have the Joker come along. The Joker says, I'm going to control Gotham. Gotham, if you don't tell me or give me everything I want, tell me what I want to hear, then I'm going to control all of Gotham City. So he would become the persecutor. Then Gotham City has all these resources, millions of people. They have all this capability to fight the Joker, but what do they say? Oh no, we are weak, powerless, helpless. We don't know what to do. We can't solve anything. So what do they do? Well, old school Batman picks up the red bat phone underneath the glass thing, if you remember that. New school shines a bat signal up in the air. Okay? They are victims. And who are they looking for? A rescuer hero. So Batman, think about this. Batman's a billionaire. He's like, I've got everything. But he's sitting in a cave by himself. The more I think about this, I'm like, the guy had some problems. Now, yes, he had some trauma as a kid. His parents were killed. He had all those things. But he's sitting in a bat cave by himself. I must find a purpose. And he talks in that strange voice when he does this. And so when that happens, as he's in this cave, and by the way, I start thinking about this, Batman never sustains personal relationships either, does he? No. He has a really hard time. I'm starting to feel like a ministry to go help Batman. All right, so Batman is there. Batman sees Gotham, the bat signal, and he's like, hey, look at this. I have a purpose. I can step in and save the day. Everyone's going to need me. Everyone's going to appreciate me. This is going to be unbelievable. So he steps in. He gets rid of the Joker. And he thinks everyone's going to appreciate me. Everyone's going to validate me. And then he doesn't get the appreciation and validation he wants. Next thing you see is Batman back in his Batcave. What's he doing? He's moping. He's pouting. He's feeling unappreciated. In my opinion, what happened is Batman went from being the rescuer in that moment, crossing over to being a victim. He feels like a victim. And do you know what happened? Do you know his persecutor, who he's blaming? Gotham City. And do you know what he needs in his mind? He needs another villain to come along as a rescuer so he can once again be the hero. And that's what plays out so many times in our life, maybe in your marriage, maybe with your kids, maybe at work. You feel like a victim. You need someone else to come along. Are you the rescuer? Are you struggling with that? Are you the rescuer? And man, people's got to need me. I see this so many times with parents to their children. You have to empower your children. You have to put your children in situations where they can fail. Not where they're going to get hurt necessarily, but they can fail. And there's so many times you just got to sit there and say, man, I hope my kid does it. Because you're empowering them. When you try to control them, you become their persecutor. When you hover, you become a persecutor. Your children never get to grow. And if you're in a marriage right now, you've really got to say, we don't want to have this dynamic. And by the way, whenever you're arguing, and I hate this. This clicked in my head one day. I would love for you to prove me wrong because I wish I could prove me wrong. But every time I argue, every time, all I'm doing is racing to be a bigger victim. That's it. Think about it. You come home from work, tell your wife, man, I worked hard today. She's like, yeah, I'm sure you did. I really had a hard day. Well, you think you had a hard day? You should hear about my day. What am I doing? I'm arguing that I had a harder day or arguing that I'm a greater victim. And when she won't let me win, I am a bigger victim than you. My wife and I were having a difference of opinion a few months ago. She was in the kitchen, she was cooking, and I was telling her about something. And finally she was cutting something. She put her hands on the cutting board. She goes, you know what? You're right. I should be better. It's on me. I'll do this. Well, it's just like, I told her, well, that's not fair. You can't do that. Now we can't argue anymore. Because what happened? She let me win. I'm the victim. And do you know what? The victory wasn't very satisfying. So you can take back control of your life. Some of you right now, you're tormenting yourself with your own self-talk in your own mind. You can be in your own drama triangle, by the way, in your mind. You can persecute yourself, and you can then seek a coping mechanism, behaviors, as a rescuer. You can be trapped in your own drama triangle. What is a rescuer then? Could be social media, could be validation, could be likes, could be food, could be video games, it could be all sorts of things. You can be in your own drama triangle right now in your own mind. We don't want to stay here. We want to get out. Just so you understand the family dynamic, there's a business owner in another state asked me one day as I was helping him, he said, can you talk to my wife? I said, yes, talk to her. And she's like, I don't understand. I've always loved my mom. We have a good relationship. And all of a sudden, it just started to go downhill. So I said, tell me about things. And so she said, man, my husband and I, we were not struggling. But we were doing a little paycheck to paycheck. And he started this business. And now we're doing really well. We moved states for the business, and now we're down here, and we're families, we're doing well, and I don't know what's going on, but I really love my mom, and I want a good relationship, but man, all she does is complain to me, she gets angry at me, she just keeps talking about, I don't need her, different things, and so I paused, and I said, tell me about your siblings. She goes, I have two younger brothers. I said, how are they? She goes, they're a train wreck. She goes, they can't pay their bills. They can't take care of the kids. My mom has to go there all the time. She has to help with the car payments. She has to go over there and get the kids to school, pick them up from school. They need her all the time. I'm like, well, how does she treat them? She's like, she acts like they're great. She loves them. So it clicked in my head in that moment, and I explained this concept because do you see what is happening? In that moment, the mom's identity with her children is I have to be a rescuer. I have to be. If my kids don't need me, something's wrong with them. Not with her, with them. So now that her daughter didn't need her, she wants to be a friend to her, but not need her. Then the mom said, oh, that can't happen. So what happens to the mom? Because she feels like a victim now. What? My daughter doesn't need me. Her daughter becomes her persecutor. So then what happens is she's cold, manipulative, passive-aggressive to her daughter. So she becomes the persecutor and daughter feels like a victim. She's like, I don't even know what I did wrong. And this can happen at work, at home, and in your own mind. So many of you are thinking, well, how do we get out of this? I'm so glad you asked, because we're going to show you how to exit the drama triangle. How many of you in your life have felt a time where you've been trapped in this drama triangle? It happens to me almost every day that I get tempted to go in. You say, well, how does it happen? There's all sorts of ways. You know, it could be impatience. If you're driving, someone cuts you off and you get really angry. Has that ever happened to anyone but me? Okay. So in that moment, you're like, you feel like a victim. Now, naturally for me, if I feel like a victim, guess which role I go to very quickly? Persecutor. So if someone cuts you off, what do you got to do now? Oh, yeah, you got it. Oh, that's not happening. You aren't going to control me. You aren't doing that to me. I'm coming after you. Thanks for relating to me, by the way. Don't cut her off. That would not be a good thing. All right. When that happens, you become a persecutor. And you want to make them feel like a what? Victim. And then you call somebody, you go to work, and you tell someone, yeah, you know what happened on the way to work? This jerk cut me off. What are you doing? You're looking for a rescuer. Come validate me, right? Or you go to work, yeah, you aren't going to believe what my husband said or my wife said. Or you go home and say, you aren't going to believe what my boss said today. Man, they did this. Yeah, this happened. Or if you work for Ben, you have a reason. I mean, he's probably tough on you anyhow. But you have this dynamic happen all the time. You want to get out of it. So how do we get out? So let's look. Can you put up the other triangle? This is the power triangle. We don't want to get caught in ego. We want to focus on power, empowerment, helping people to grow. Remember I said victims will not grow. So what you want to do is go to creator. The creator is the opposite of a victim. Where a victim gives up our responsibility, creator say, I'm taking back some responsibility. What part of this problem can I solve? And I know, I've done this. When you go and say, well, it's not all my fault. We didn't say it was all your fault, did we? But we said, how much of this is your fault? It's only 10% my fault. Okay, claim the 10%. What part of this problem can I solve? Where can you take back pressure, responsibility? Where can you say, I can do this? Where can you say, I can control my emotions here? I don't have to retaliate here. When you go to Creator, you ask yourself questions to get you to shift to an objective view where you're not controlled by your emotions. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? Man, Father, what shall I say? That's what he did. So all I'm teaching you is what Jesus did. He modeled it. I'm teaching it. Jesus is saying, go to Creator. If I'm working with someone all the time, I say, man, that is a really challenging situation. What can you do to solve this problem? Man, what do you think you can learn from this? What am I trying to do? Get them from victim to go to Creator. Is it easy? No, but it is empowering. When you go to Creator, you can almost feel the energy come back. That's why when Jesus said, no, I can feel the energy from him reading that verse that happened 2,000 years ago because I respect that. And people respect when you go to Creator. If you want to say, I'm losing self-respect, I talk to so many people who have so much success and so much wealth and so much this and this, but you know what they don't have? Self-respect. Do you know why? Because they're living in the drama triangle. When you're in the drama triangle, your self-respect diminishes. When you're in this triangle, your self-respect increases. Your confidence increases. You start to say, I can do this. We all want to go to Creator. Ask questions. Take yourself to Creator. Now, what does a creator see? A problem. But instead of a victim sees a problem, they see it as a persecution. When a creator sees a problem, you know what they see it as? Challenge. So let's look at the challenger. What is a challenger? How can you be a challenger? How can I be one? In our marriage, we need to live in the creator-challenger loop. Not the victim-persecutor, creator-challenger. My wife and I try to challenge each other all the time. Now, do I always love it when she challenges me? No, but I need it. Just like I think it's Proverbs 27:17 talks about iron sharpens iron. This is what you should be with your friends. This is what you should be in your home. Iron sharpening iron so that you can make each other stronger and better. This is where you help each other to grow. How are you helping those around you to grow? Or are you blaming those people? Challengers see a way to focus on the other person's growth and say, you know what? Man, are you sure? Can we pray about that? What responsibility can you take? Man, you're struggling with your finances? Let's sit down and get a plan, a structure. Let's think creatively. Let's think of what we can do to solve this problem. Oh, you're struggling in your marriage? Let's sit down and look at this. If you're struggling in your spiritual life, if you're blaming your boss, you're blaming the economy, I don't get paid enough, whatever it is, let's see what you can do to solve the problem. They see it as a challenger. The challenger cares about the other person and pushes them to grow. Now, my wife is really trying to decide, you help me. Is she challenging me or persecuting me? Because you know what she's asked me to do? She's asked me to track my macros and watch my caloric intake every single day and chart everything. Now, come on. Persecuting. Thank you. That's it. All right. We're done. It feels like it. But that tracking is accountability. And I'll get into more of this Wednesday, but when you're in the power triangle, there's accountability. There's self-accountability, accountability in your marriage, accountability at work. If people reject accountability, do you know where they're not at? Power triangle. They won't take accountability. They won't take deadlines because they're not in the power triangle. They're living in the drama triangle. Oh, you're just a micromanager. No. They're training you. They're challenging you. How do you see the challenge? There's an illustration we'll use from the Bible here. About many years ago, there were 12 people who were sent to spy out a land. Okay, God said, you can have this land. Let's send 12 people over. So they picked 12 people and said, go to 40 days and spy out this land. Do some recon. So they went and did some recon. They come back and said, here's a report. Can you show us some of those verses that we have? So, Numbers 13. At the end of 40 days, these 12 return from exploring the land. Explain. They're going to show this report. Hey, we're going to make this happen. Okay? What did they do? They gave Moses this account. Talking to people. We went to the land which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. Man, we went to the land. It is unbelievable. Man, look at all the prosperity. Look at all the opportunity. Man, look at all this stuff. Isn't this unbelievable? Isn't the opportunity amazing? Wouldn't that be exciting? What happened? Not so fast. Let's create a narrative why we can't do this. But the people who live there are powerful. Their cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Who are the descendants of Anak? Anakins were the really tall giants. We even saw people that were descendants of giants. They're like really tall, big people. We can't do this. Caleb, one of the 12, silenced the people. He goes, hey, hold on. We should go up and possess this land, for we can absolutely do this. Caleb said, hey, you guys, calm down. We can do this. I know they're big, but we can do this. Do you see what happens? The other people saw it as a persecution. How is Caleb seeing the problem? As a challenge. How are you seeing your problem today? Is it a challenge or a persecution? I try to use the word challenge in my head all the time. I use it with my clients all the time. Man, what is the challenge here? What am I trying to do? Get them to go to Creator. How are you seeing the problem today? Is it a challenge or persecution? Here's the next one. But the men, the other 10 who had gone up with them said, we can't attack the people. They're stronger than we are. Do you see they're making themselves? Hey, we are weak and powerless and helpless. We can't do this. What are you saying about the challenges in your life today? Are you like Caleb? Are you like these other 10 who said, no, we can't do this. We're weak. Man, look at me. My muscles are small. I don't have anything. They're disempowering themselves. Next verse. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, hey, the land we explored devours those living in it. Didn't they just say how amazing it was? Just a couple of verses ago. Now they're saying this land devours people. I mean, doesn't it make it sound like they have, like, the earth is, like, chomping people up? I mean, they're embellishing. Have you ever had someone who tells you a story and you can almost know they're embellishing? Yeah, then I'll tell you what else happened, right? What are they doing? Victims embellish so you feel sorry for them and that you rescue them. That's what victims do. Because you know how I know that? Because Arlen's done it before. I even know. Because I've done it before. And so have you. You want to rally people to your side and say, won't you rescue me? That's what they're looking for. All the people we saw there, all the people. Now all the people. Do you see how everything's growing? What happens when you're fearful? Gross. Fear is their persecutor here. They feel like victims. They said, we saw descendants of Anak there. Now all the people we saw of great size. How are you viewing your problem today? Is it growing? Is it expanding? Because you're in drama, triangle. Go to the next verse, please. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Now, do you know what happened? The 10 were so angry at the other two for making them revealed. They were victims. They tried to pick up stones and kill them. That's crazy. And sometimes you go to Creator, people don't always like the challenge you're giving them. And so you have to understand, sometimes in life as you try to grow, you may fight some adversity. you still do not have to go into that drama triangle. Those people tried to then persecute the two, and the persecutor says, no, we're not doing that. I want to help you all see it as a challenger. I want you to see how we can grow. Can you go back to the power triangle, please? In the power triangle, we looked at creator. How can I solve this problem? What responsibility is mine? Then we looked at the challenger. Challenger says, how can I help people to grow? I want to do something to challenge people around me. Are you trying to help people around you to grow? Are you giving them resources and books? Are you trying to say, hey, where are you at on this? Where are you at on this? Are you driving accountability? Are you accepting accountability? Because if you're creator challenger, it's healthy back and forth. He talked about coming Wednesday night, several opportunities. I'll be here Wednesday night. We'll try to teach you more. Are you saying, man, how can I grow in these opportunities? Are you trying to find ways to challenge the people around you to grow and thrive and develop? Or are you seeing things of persecution? Now, the last role here is coach. Now, what is a coach? A coach is there to guide people down the paths they've taken. Now, some of us have been through tough times in life. Some of you have been through tough times in life I haven't been through. What we are supposed to do is take those tough times, put ourselves in a creator situation, then grow and say, you know what, I'm going to challenge people around me because people challenged me as I went through that tough situation, support, challenge. When you come out the other side of that situation and then someone else has that same tough situation that you have navigated through. Now you can step back and you can see them and say, hey, let's go to Creator. Now let me guide or coach you through this situation. Guy I work with in Louisville, Kentucky this week, worked with him for a while, good man, business owner. But we're talking to him and I could tell his spirit was a little down. He's like, yeah, my wife and I, we lost a child last week. Okay, I have not had to endure that. Of course, my wife and I tried to be very supportive and empathetic. She sent them some resources and material, and I talked to him, and I tried to talk to him several more times this past week. And I'm grateful I haven't had to go through that. But some of you may have gone through that. I don't know. And you may think, what do I do with that situation? When people like him and his wife come into your life, you coach them. God uses you in those opportunities to coach other people. Sometimes you sit back and say, I can't do it. No, that's disempowering. That's being a victim. You coach and say, I can do this. And you step in and say, come on, you got this. God's here. Here's how I got through it. I know the days are tough. And you coach people through it. How are some of us taking advantage of those opportunities to coach other people? How are we stepping in and saying, I can help other people to grow? What a coach does is they use the challenge to help the creator grow. You don't persecute people. If all of us went to a gym today and we walked in and said, hey, we're thinking about signing up, and the person at the front desk started laughing maniacally and rubbing their hands together, saying, oh man, I can't wait to persecute you. How many of you would say, man, I can't wait to sign up? Why? Because persecution is there to hurt you and to hold you back. Okay, but what if we all went to a gym today, walked in the counter and said, hey, we're considering joining. They're like, oh, wow, we're excited to have you. Man, it's going to be great. I can't wait to challenge you. How many of you would find that to be acceptable? Because we know a challenge is hard, but doable, and it's going to make us grow. How are you accepting the challenges God is throwing your way? Where do you need to embrace the challenge? Say, you know what? I can do this. As you said, my oldest son, Dave, was here the first hour with his two kids. When Dave was going into high school, he's in eighth grade, he said, Dad, I know we work out, but I really want to get bigger, faster, stronger for high school and sports and be better. So I said, well, Dave, you just got to look at me. That'll be enough for you. No, I didn't say that. So I went and got Dave this trainer, and we went to the gym, and I was told the trainer, I said, hey, can you work with my oldest son, Dave? And he's like, yes. So then I had my younger two boys, and I said, he said, oh, I'll work with them. And I said, I don't know if they're old enough to really like lift weights. He goes, no, but he goes, I'll do body weight exercises with them. I said, all right. He's like, and I'll even train you at the same time. I'm like, hey, slow down there, big fella. But I said, all right, you can work with me. So he got my son, Dave, lifting. And then my other two could do push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, dips. They could do all sorts of things. I told him, I thought I was pretty good at pull-ups. And then my other two were competing. And I watched them dead hang all the way up, no kipping, all the way down. 37 pull-ups in a row, each of them. And I just said, you know, I don't think I'm going to do pull-ups with them anymore.
Dad, you only did 6. Shut up, kid.
All right. But I remember he said, hey, what can you do on the bench? I said, I don't know. He goes, hey, let's try 185. So he gets 240, a plate on each side, and then a 25 on each side. He goes, hey, bench this. I said, all right. I benched it 3 times. He goes, rack it. I racked it. I stood up like, you're going to give me 5. What are you going to do? He takes off 25 on each side. I'm looking at him like, I'm like, is my wife coming in to bench next? I mean, what's going on here? He said, I need you to bench this 135 until you learn the proper form. Now, in that moment, did I sit there and say, man, thank you so much for coaching me? What do you think I said? I didn't say anything externally, but even my voice inside, what do you think you're doing, you jerk? My ego got hurt. My pride was injured. I didn't want to do that. I just said, I felt like saying, dude, I just did 185. What do you mean? He said, you have to stay tight. Gave me these techniques, this form. So what he made me do for a month, every single time we benched, I had to bench 135 in this gym. Do you know how embarrassing that is? All these big people going around and I'm like doing 135. So you see him coming, you like jump up. Yeah, I don't know who's doing that. Then I have to go down and do it again. It was terrible. Ego. When you're in the drama triangle, ego. You know what I saw him as? I was a victim. He was my persecutor. I'm telling you because I want you to be my rescuer. All right. But after a month, I remember he came over there and watched me. He goes, okay. He put 25 on each side, 185. He goes, do this again. I'm like, oh, no trick. Did it 3 times. He goes, rack it. He put a 10 on each side. I'm at 205. He goes, do that 3 times. I did it. He put a 5 on each side, 215. He goes, do that 3 times. Then I said, put on. No, I didn't. It's 215. He goes, do that 3 times. He said, okay, now we can grow. And sometimes when God tries to get us to grow, you know what we have to do? Submit to his process. Sometimes you have to go backwards in our minds, but we're not. He's empowering us to build more. He's like, God, I just want to grow. Solve the problem. God's like, here, God, let's take some weight off. No, God. But God is trying to say, no, submit to my process, because then I'm going to help you to grow more. Now, eventually, I got up and I was benching 275, and I thought I had, like, arrived. I'm doing really well. I told him, my son Dave benched 400 this week, so hats off to Dave. I'm not competing with Dave, and I used to compete. We're not competing anymore unless there's, like, a curve, you know? Me and Arlen together, we'll go against Dave. All right, but here's what happened. I got Dave a coach. I had to submit to my ego. At some point, I had to start coaching Dave. And you know what now? My coaching and this other coach's coaching have made our creator stronger than us. Isn't that the goal of being a good coach? To make your team better? Are you making people better? How are you growing people? Think about Batman. Why didn't Batman ever go as a coach and go to Gotham and say, you know what we can do? I'll take my billions of dollars. I'll create an endowment. I'll create a Batman Academy, and I'll empower people to do what I do. And then we won't have to have persecutors. We'll have challengers that come from time to time, these villains, but we'll be able to deal with them. It'll be problem solved. Why do you think Batman never did that? Yeah, it takes away his identity because it's about Batman. It's not about solving the problem. It's about Batman, his ego. Do you really want to solve your problem today, or is it about our ego? Do you really want God to step in? And do you want to be a coach and empower other people around you? Wouldn't it be amazing if the people that you coach surpassed you? Wouldn't it be amazing if your children surpassed you? Wouldn't it be amazing if you helped your spouse and your partner to grow? Wouldn't it be amazing if you're a boss, if some of your employees outgrew you in certain areas? Wouldn't that be empowering to you and to them? if our egos don't get in the way. So, how are we going to step back, live in the power triangle, get out of the drama triangle? I want you to claim John 12:27 this week. If you're willing, look at that verse, highlight it, put it somewhere. Look, and when you feel drawn to the drama triangle, say, no. Just like Jesus said, no. Get out. Go to the power triangle and live there. At work, in your own mind, and in your marriages. You can say, this is the verse I want for my pattern of how I can live. Don't get caught in that drama. Now, Wednesday, I'll go more into depth, and I'll try to apply it. You can ask questions best I can. I'll try to apply it to everywhere, one of our situations. Many of us have different persecutors. Persecutor, as I said, could be anxiety, could be fear, could be impatience. There's so many things. Where can you pray and say, God, you show me where I feel persecuted. Where am I acting like a victim? God, how can I go to Creator? How can I see things as a challenge? Just like those 12 spies, only two of them saw it as a challenge. 10, God, I want to be exceptional. I want to be the minority you saw it as a challenge. God, I want to grow. And then eventually you become a coach to coach the people in your life that God gives you to develop and to take down a path you fought to overcome. Pastor?
Okay. Glad you're with us today. Thank you, Keith. That was wonderful. Always is wonderful. And appreciate that. We've had this conversation several times through the years. Keith has brought it up, and I've asked questions when he's talked to others when I had personal questions. Michelle and I sat with Michelle and Keith and talked about it before over coffee at Old Dog. Plug for Old Dog, by the way, right here. Anyhow, we've talked about it, and there's always another angle. That's why I'm looking forward to Wednesday. You can always go deeper. Last hour, David was sitting back here sending a text to us both of something that he thought of. And how many times has he been through this? You're always catching new ideas, right? Yeah. I want to make a quick relation to you because we've been going through the life of Jesus. We went through the whole prodigal son story for 4 weeks. And we were talking about it during that series. We were talking about this concept a few times because we knew this day was coming. And I was thinking about it. You see the drama triangle. Once you recognize this pattern, you'll see it everywhere. So think about the prodigal son story. Someone help me out here. Remember the end of the story when the prodigal comes back and the father's excited, throws a party. Then the older son comes in from the field. He's coming in from the field and he's like, what's this going on? What's the music and dancing? What's happening? And they tell him his brother's back and he's mad. And he stays outside and he won't come in. His dad comes out and says, what's going on? And he's just mad. I've slaved for you all these years. I've been faithful. You never appreciated me. You've never thrown a party. He's mad. What mode is the older son going into in that moment? So, what's that? He's a victim in that moment, right? I'm a victim. And in his mind, who is his persecutor? His dad's his persecutor. I slave for you. You don't appreciate me. You're terrible. And he's upset. And we watch the dad throughout that story have to take both of his sons, and he could easily be a victim. His son, young son breaks his heart. His older son's breaking it now. In both cases, he has to sit there. Instead of being reactive, he becomes proactive. He says, okay, what do I need to do? And he moves into creator space. His younger son, he says, I need to let him go. I need to allow him down this path. This is who he is. Not the same boys. His other son, he needs to go out and confront him, have a hard conversation, challenge him in a different way. He handles them differently because they're not the same people. But in both situations, the dad knows how to handle that personality, and he helps them find a path back. The younger son comes back. The older son is left hanging, but Jesus is challenging his audience to not be the older brother. And so we always have to understand that this pattern, we can get stuck in it so easily, or we can go to Creator and find our way out. And the more you recognize that in your life, in the stories of Scripture, in the stories at your workplace, your marriage, it'll start clicking for you. So I don't think it's a well that's going to dry up anytime soon. I hope you'll come this Wednesday as Keith unpacks more of it for us. And by the way, I'm going to say this to make him uncomfortable, but he's paid well for doing what he does, and he's giving his time to our church more times than not. Like a couple times this year, today, just because he cares about people, cares about you, and he's coming back Wednesday as a very busy person, but he's coming back because he wants to pour into our church, and we're very blessed to be recipients of that. I appreciate that, Keith.
Thank you.
And so let's let's just maybe come back together this week with some questions and grow a little bit more together this Wednesday,
sure.
Okay?
That'd be great.
Thank you.